This is the Future of Law podcast, where we explore what it means to be a lawyer and law firm of the future. I'm Judas from Australia.
And I'm Tessa from Canada. We are two entrepreneurs working on each edge of the planet, bringing you a platform to explore what the future holds for the legal industry. Hello, Kudus. How are you today?
Hi. Good, thanks. Yourself?
I'm good, thank you. So we have a new episode and a new theme.
Yes, I thought I'd take the opportunity to look this week at stewardship and leadership. And the two words are interchangeable. But before we do that, you recently had a mini academy. I wanted to find out about how that went. Can you tell me a bit more about what that was and how that went?
Oh, fantastic. Thanks for the opportunity, Kudus. Certainly, I would be happy to share a little bit about what's going on with the Legal Creatives Mini Academy. I actually started this program on Monday, February 25. And it's a program that lasts for a week, an entire week. And it's a program that is helping lawyers from everywhere around the world getting started with creativity in a way that is helping them reimagine the experience they deliver to the customers. And right. I was quite impressed to see that we have attracted about 200 professionals from everywhere around the world. So there is something big happening in the industry, and people are ready to dare to use creativity, and they are actually getting good results. So thank
and
you
so much. Yeah, no, that's fantastic. So in reflection, what did you find? Were there any things that stood out to you across that time in terms of, some of the gems that came out in terms of from the participants or
yes.
just in your own reflection? What
well,
did
yes.
you find?
Actually, I found out that people were quite surprised how easy creativity can be. And right. they all told me that as a feedback, that the sessions were very short and sweet, very engaging. Some even called a meeting at the law firm in order to discuss the topics that I was teaching. And right. so they realized that they can be creative and that creativity is a great tool that they can use to foster innovation.
And from a perspective of, you know, both of us are very focused on actually, our businesses are based around supporting the legal industry as it transitions and building capabilities. From that perspective, I guess my curiosity is understanding, you know, where do you think it goes next?
That would be something to talk during the episode. I would love to talk to you about that because I also create as I move forward. I create with the feedback of the community and seeing the opportunities as well. And I believe leadership is something that we need to discuss more,
yes.
This new kind of leadership in the industry. And it seems you have given quite some thought into that. So I would love for you to introduce the topic of leadership, stewardship,
sure.
as you call it. And get to know more, why do you want to talk about leadership in this episode?
Well, for me, I've come across it and it's been a point of focus for the last few weeks and months. And largely because the approach to firms and implementing change and a conversation about change, the typical approach would be to visit the leaders and to, I guess, in any business transaction or in any sort of exchange of value, you need to speak to the heads, of any organization. So, but the question of leadership came up and it's interesting because my philosophy on it at the moment is, my thoughts on it at the moment are that, leadership, and I use the word stewardship as well, because I think really, and it does feel very, very much part of our industry, the fact that we have the majority of partners. Stewardship suits it better because, the role of the leader is exchanged. You know, it rotates. You know, a managing partner may have 4 or 5 years to lead a partnership of 50, 60 partners, but there is always the case that it will rotate. Someone else will then take that opportunity and role and move things forward. So stewardship sort of means that, you know, the captain won't always be, the captain rotates. And I think that that's important, but I also find that there's another parallel to the idea of leadership. And
and what is question, this? Is this a new kind of leadership that you?
I don't know that about? It's new. Maybe it's just a different type of way, a different way of thinking about it. You know, and I think I think where it has been realized, and maybe we just haven't talked about it enough, which is why we're doing it now. But where it has been realized that way, there's been much success. What I'm trying to get at, and maybe it is new, can be considered new, but I wouldn't be at all thinking that I was the first. So it may be new to me, so I'm going to share that. and what came up for me is that in an organization where there are so many, I guess, departments of service, areas of law, areas of products or services that we provide, you know, the structure as a whole may have a steward, may have a leader. It might have a hierarchy of leaders. It may have a system of leaders, but the mentality of a leader, I think, is not reserved purely for the senior members of an organization. And that's my, you know, and the question really becomes, is leadership reserved for the senior members of an organization?
Interesting question. So in other words, we can take this conversation into different paths. We can talk about leadership versus management, which is very different. We can also, we could touch base on that. I would love to. And we can talk about, leadership maybe not necessarily top down, but bottom up. Is this what you mean?
I think it's a hybrid. So yeah, I'm actually not believing that it's either or. I think it's a hybrid. I think what happens is it's recognized ability. A leader's job, first of all, let's say in a traditional sense, top down, their job, I think, ultimately is to empower the people around them. That's the job, right? To instill the confidence, to be the confidence sometimes when it's needed, but to eventually work their way out of that, you know, out of that frame of mind for the people that they're actually leading. So the leader is successful to the extent that the constituents that they lead feel like they're walking shoulder to shoulder with the individual. They have more context. They understand things better. They're empathetic to both to your situation as a leader and the leader to their constituents, so, or their colleagues and peers. So the hybrid is, I think, it's a bit more modular. It's like if a leader can understand that their job is to empower, then they often, you know, it comes a question of responsibility, being able to give that, being able to delegate it, give it, and unlock it, essentially, that sense of purpose and responsibility. And I think in our current structures, oftentimes, those are the very things that are stripped away. You know, where, let's give an example. So where a junior enters the firm, you know, the first premise is, and I say this often, that they enter that environment as a liability. They're treated as a liability often. And the reason is logical. The reasons are what takes us as an experienced solicitor 1 hour to do, it takes you 10. Mm-hmm. And not only does it take you 10 or however much longer than it takes us, we have to also then check your work. So spend time away from our own work to check your work. And so they're seen as a short-term liability and maybe as a long-term fee earner for the firm. And this is where I think as a junior enters the firm, they should really perhaps be seen be given more purpose instead of not be stripped. So that mentality creates that of seniority equals authority and, you know, experience equals authority. and know-how, and anyone who hasn't done it doesn't know it, therefore it has very little value, that strips the ability for a young junior to come in and actually do something that perhaps they're more geared towards and could and the firm can benefit greatly from. Does that make sense?
Yeah, do you mean like bringing fresh ideas, maybe because the younger generation is more savvy with technology, so introducing technology or at least being involved in the introduction of technology inside the law firm? Is this what you mean by the added
value?
That's
an example of it. Yeah.
Potential added value. Beauty...
Exactly. I mean, that's a great, solid example. I think it's very tangible, but I think as we move forward in this industry, there will be more and more of those. There is no doubt that, you know, right now it's tech savvy and it makes sense, but there will be other things that, you know, that we can't necessarily see ourselves that will be seen by the young ones moving in.
For sure. And also we see from what I've been reading is that we see the younger generation being more and more, you know, more and more sort of engaging, you know, they're less engaged. This what I read is they even drop out from the big law firms or drop out from even law school. Given some jurisdictions, it's quite expensive to get a law degree, and the perspective of getting a job are not so
high,
you know. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we all know that being a lawyer is extremely stressful. And not everybody want to do that anymore. People want to have, you know, at least younger generations, or most of them, or there's a tendency that, you know, having an enjoyable life is important as well. It's not just about the work. And so I think that opens a different discussion about, you know, work-life balance. But, you know, without having to talk about that, because this is not the topic. The topic is about leadership and stewardship. So how can you be an agent of change?
But I mean, that's
the
context, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think what you mentioned is very valid, because that's probably something that's very tangible to the listener, to our listeners and our community. When we say that, you know, are you seeing across the board a drop in sentiment and enthusiasm in the younger lawyers coming through, running through the same traditional model that you've been running at your firm? And I would be pretty confident in saying that a lot of them would see
and,
that.
And this is why...
And if they don't see that, maybe there's not a real honest conversation happening. And maybe they're too scared.
Or maybe they're just enjoying this as well. Some young professionals might like the traditional approach, which is fine too. Right. But some who are not in sync with that, they might do something else. So this is why I see, for instance, in the community of legal creatives, I see more and more younger professionals who actually start their own business, whether it's a tech startup or a hybrid model of technology and humans.
A new law model.
New law model, like this, in which they can, you know, they can have they can thrive, but without having to work that much because of leveraging technology. And we have talked about that.
You know, it's funny, those who actually go and start that, those who go and start their own firm don't necessarily work less. They don't, because they've now committed to starting their own business, which, you know,
it's
doesn't matter which industry you're in, it's a lot of work. But what they've the purpose and the drive behind them doing something that seems, you know, at opposite ends of them leaving their previous role is that they have the control and there's a better way to do things, and they haven't been given the space to do that in their previous environment.
So that's why
they leave.
Yeah, does this mean that leadership, according to you, could be a shared leadership, or at least leadership in a way that is allowing others to be leaders as well? So, you know, allowing flexibility, giving up a little bit of control to allow, you know, those fresh ideas to be submitted and eventually to be acted upon. And eventually to come to a prototype of some sort.
Yeah.
And so
I think that's exactly right. But I'm very cautious to say that it's this and that. I think what I'm trying to get at is leadership is a quality, and that quality can be found anywhere in a firm environment. And I think it's the role of the current, you know, typical leader, the the senior leader and their constituents, so if there's an executive board or something, to be constantly searching, looking, maybe establishing that value across the entire firm, to be looking for leaders regardless of where they are in their seniority. Because if you see someone that has the drive, that has the passion, that is the value add that can be given to the firm that, you know, of your own accord as a senior leader, you haven't found. That's what the space that you need to give to, you know, and the resources and the time you need to give to those individuals. And that's why I say, perhaps look at leadership as a quality that you seek anywhere in the firm, rather than it requires a certain, you know, rather than the traditional way of, oh, you have to be here for 20, 30 years, and then leadership means you're the head partner or managing partner. No, I think exactly. Leadership is...
managing partner. That's what you're saying. This is the difference between managers and leaders. And you can be a manager and a leader, but you can be a manager that is not a leader. And this is where we often confuse the two roles or positions. But in reality, like, a manager is nominated or appointed. He has authority because of his or her position in a given system. But a leader, a leader is not appointed. He's a leader because, as you say, I agree with you, Kudus, he's a leader or she's a leader because of this is a quality that this person has. And because of this quality, they are able to inspire others to move in a certain direction. That a manager might not be able to do that. So you can become a leader. You can also become a manager. You can be both. But it's important to be aware of our position in the ecosystem. Are we managers? Are we leaders? And we can be leaders without being managers. In other words, we can be a junior lawyer and we can be a leader. And I see a lot of them in the academy. I see a lot of leaders because they come in here to learn. And very often, the reason why they are coming to this academy is because there is nowhere else that they can learn, because the firm is not ready to onboard into a creative process. But they are, and they want to learn. So they want to be prepared for the future. And they're coming out of curiosity. They're coming because they are natural leaders and they want to be ahead, not because necessarily it's not a competition. It's just who they are.
It's an natural impulse, right? If you can see something in your head, if you have a vision, if you're inspired, you want to be able to contribute. You want to be able to crystallize that tangibly and contribute to the body that you're involved in. So whether it's a firm or a company, you can see something that others can't. It really should be, there should be space to pursue that.
Inside the law firm, I totally agree. Because by having professionals, young lawyers, or even lawyers who have experience, and some sometimes have a lot of experience, like experiment outside is not going to help. It's not going to help no one. So at some point, we need to align the vision. And I think I agree with you, Kudus. It's about having a vision. Being a leader is having a vision. It's not just about managing the finances and the human resources and whatever needs to be managed, you know. It's about having a vision. And to have a vision, you need to be curious, I believe. You need to be curious. And you need to have this mentality of, you know, taking risk or a minimum of risk, because otherwise you're just a manager, which is fine too. But we need to decide what is needed now in this industry. And I believe we need more leaders. And as a matter of fact, we already have more leaders. We just need to empower them. And so how can we empower them?
That's exactly right.
That's the question. How do we empower those leaders?
You bring them in, you know, that first thing you need to do is strip the environment of the thinking that, you know, authority comes from seniority. You know, I think that's where you're not giving space. You know, you're contaminating the space with an undertone that every time someone young steps up to say something, there is, you know, this air of, oh, well, but you don't know because you haven't done this for 20 years or 30 years. And perhaps 20 years ago, that would have been a valid conversation because the environment at a macro hadn't changed enough. But now we're getting to a point where what worked for the last 20, 30 years, those who are in, you know, positions of seniority at firms now, those things are no longer going to actually, the bulk of them are not going to actually continue to work, whether it's the model, whether it's the structures, whether it's the way specific, you know, files are handled, whether it's workflow and process. There's too much that's changed and there's too much that's moved forward that that particular model cannot survive in this incoming environment. So that's the first thing we have to remove. We have to remove this air of, we know you don't because we've done it for 20 years.
And so how can we remove that? How, because this is something very difficult to do. I mean, this
I think it circles back to understanding what being a leader is. If you're there to empower, and I think sometimes we need to ask ourselves the questions, you know, are we as the current leaders, are we also the future leaders? You know, how much longer is a senior partner going to be involved with the firm? And what's their vested interest in the movement of that firm as it moves forward? You know, is it a point of, if you're 2 or 3 years out and you're an equity partner, you know, what is your motivation? Is it a legacy conversation? You know, do you want to be part of that legacy of, you know, opening the firm up and laying the foundations? Whatever the motivation is, I think it's important to recognize that as a current leader, you will not be a future leader. Right, you will have your time and it will move on. And so the question is, well, how do we tackle that succession in this environment? How do we tackle succession in this environment?
That is very interesting. And I'm sure our listeners will agree that this is a very complex thing to do. But probably, and this is why we have set up this podcast, is to have those conversations. And we're not saying we have the answers to all of the questions, but we are here to explore what it means to be a law firm of the future. And so we bring those conversations to you so we can share, you know, different point of view, opinions, experience. And this is a great opportunity for me as well to, you know, to invite our listeners to engage with us. Please do engage with us and let us know what you think. Let us know what is your...
Give us some more nuance as well and context. Yeah.
And
you know, I think every situation has its merits.
Yeah, correct. And share your stories. And we are going to feature you on the podcast. So we would love to hear your stories. So please connect with us. And so to make this transition into this new kind of leadership, whether it's new or just hybrid or however we want to call it, but this new era, then diversity is going to be important, I believe, because this is by having different point of views, different perspectives, and by sharing different experiences that we are able to grasp a particular situation, to understand it better. And to see the full picture instead of just seeing one perspective, which is the perspective of the senior partner who is in authority as a manager to, you know, in theory, gives leadership and share the vision. But the vision now
and
needs to
be... To be fair, I'm sure there are many, many leaders out there, senior members of the firms who have attempted... to do this, you know, to reach out, to have an open dialogue, to cut the red tape and start to explore what does everyone else think. But the challenge with that is, that's a great first step. The challenge with that is, and I guess why we're discussing it, is because the culture that's been permeated up until that point is so so ingrained in the way that, you know, a junior moves into that environment in a way that a junior moves to a senior in that environment. It's the culture is so ingrained that that alone cannot be enough. It's a much more complex situation, especially as it pertains to culture. So, you know, we have to look at other various methods and perhaps take a multi-pronged approach. You know, that asking that question is great. Opening that communication is great. Creating spaces like that are fantastic. But it by itself doesn't always tackle the problem or create the or change the sentiment really in and behaviors of individuals that have done it one way for such a long time.
Well, one thing is sure is that the way we are operating now in the industry is giving a sense of urgency. Juniors yes. are under high pressure to perform and to deliver. Mm-hmm. The billable mm-hmm. business model is certainly not helping juniors and even non-juniors, but it's not sure. helping at all. I know, experimenting new things. So there's a huge pressure inside law firms. There's a huge pressure on the shoulders of everyone in the industry because also the business model might not be adequate to foster this kind of leadership. However, we need to make this move. Some of you who are listening might want to make this move, whether you are a senior or whether you're junior, you want to make this move. And it seems like we don't really know how to make it in a way that is where everybody is safe.
And I think it needs to be holistic.
Yeah, and leadership is about safety too. You know, you are a leader because you're also providing for safety. You know, you make sure everybody is, you know, feeling good, you know. And
maybe that's a good time to ask you, Tessa, what does leadership and empowerment have to do with each other?
So what do you mean by that?
Well, because you're saying, you know, people need to feel safe, and I agree. Of course they need to feel safe. But you know, if you say, okay, step into my office or step into this space where we're going to talk to each other, this is a safe space. It doesn't change the sentiment of the junior stepping in there because they're already scared because it's already been a different way mm-hmm. as they've entered. So
there needs to be a strong message.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The underlying thing I would ask then, what does leadership and empowerment have to do with each other? Because that's exactly what's happened. When someone doesn't feel safe, they're not empowered to contribute in whatever way that you've asked them to. So, you know, but I want to ask you, what do you think leadership and empowerment have to do with each other?
That's a really
Is it central?
Question. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Leadership and empowerment to me, I am the kind of person who truly believe in actually the bottom-up approach. So to me, personally, I wouldn't be able to operate in a space, but it's very personal, where I'm not empowered, you know, because I am someone who has a lot of ideas, and if I keep, you know, restricting myself, I just refrain to be me. So it just wouldn't work for me and it wouldn't work for anybody. So this is why I do what I do now. You know, I would like to empower others to feel empowered through my teachings and through the activities that I do online and in person. And what I would hope is to see more leaders that are empowering the younger generation to, you know, bring ideas, try new things, and get some success. So, of course, that means delivering a strong message. The stronger the message, the bigger the impact. So if the leaders step in and say, well, now this is the way we're going to do things, and we're going to have a space in which you can go every Friday afternoon, we have brainstorming meetings, and I'm not saying that this is the solution, but it's better than nothing to get started. Well, let's do it.
Yes.
But of course, this is going to have an impact on the traditional
model,
and this is going to have an impact on different eras, but at least it's a way to get started. So I believe empowering others so that they can feel empowered is essential to having diverse ideas. What do you think, Kudus, about how what kind of message needs to be delivered according to you?
Well, the messages, I would separate what kind of message is being delivered from tackling the concept of how leadership and empowerment relate to each other. So the message comes, I think, after that, right? You would create a message based on recognizing that fundamental to your leadership is your ability to raise the people around you up. That is what leadership is. So having established that, the messaging would then look very, I guess, in context, contextually. You'd look contextually at the entire firm. You'd break it down to lawyers and administration. You would look at juniors and seniors within the legal field. You would look at what each person is almost tasked with in each profile of individuals. So if it's a junior lawyer, what are they generally tasked with? How much of their time is spent on, you know, commercial gain, as well as other, let's say, co-curricular activities, or just, you know, what is going on there, you know? And the same with the administrative side of the firm, and then also the senior partners, the associates, senior associates, and then also the partners, and what's being done there. And then based on an understanding of that, and there's, you know, exercises and ways in which you can figure these things out and build context. Based on the context for every profile that exists in the firm, the messaging would follow a principle that applies to all, but then also has perhaps nuance for each. And that's where, you know, being a recipient of a message that has context both across the firm as an entirety in principle, but then also nuanced in every, you know, agent of that mm-hmm. organization would be the right type of messaging.
This is very interesting. Question. Yeah, I absolutely in love with the answer, because this is leadership, really. It's about giving a direction, meaning having a vision, and a vision mm-hmm. that is based on data. So that means doing some research beforehand, then establishing the vision, then communicating on the vision. And leadership is about adapting your message as well to whoever receives it, you know? So it's exactly. relevant for them. Exactly. It's not a exactly. message. Of course, you can have a message across the board, like a general message, which is about sharing the vision. But then it's about adapting the message to, you know, to the receiver.
And you need to recognize first. And that's why you go back and first build a profile of what everyone is actually doing. You know, and if in your investigation of that you recognize that, well, it's interesting. We have a HR person. We have the head of HR, but the actual work that they do is maybe 10% HR, actual human resources to do with, you know, building the workforce or looking after them. They're 90% of their work is doing something else. So it means there's something lacking somewhere else, or maybe that role is not clear, or maybe we shouldn't be calling them HR, and we should, again, the word empower them to, you know, perhaps with a new profile, with a new scope, to fully take on the roles and responsibilities that they've been taking on as extra roles that are not to do with HR, or really go down and ask the person, which definitely has to happen. You have to build that context. What are they doing, and what they would rather be doing, and how can we fill the gaps if you were to be focusing on something that is still within the scope of what you came to do, but let's say you've ended up taking on a lot of other things because no one's there to take them up. How can we then alleviate or realign the focus and scope that you have in order that you don't feel like you're being pulled in five different directions?
So that brings clarity, and by bringing clarity, you increased the feeling of, you know, feeling
the motivation
secure and motivation
and purpose.
As well.
And for a junior, I think that's really maybe that's a great way you've put it, Tessa. Because now, if I apply what you just said to a junior should be given a lot more options coming into a firm. It should really, really. You know, they will be so motivated if they're able to actually enter a firm environment, enter a situation, and recognize that, you know, perhaps they've had conversations with their friends or at university and they've realized that, oh, it's literally, it's a one track for the next 3 years. In the first 3 years of your of your legal career as a junior solicitor, it's one track. You're going to be doing research, you're going to be running files to court, and you're not going to be asking a lot of questions, and you're going to, you know, stick your head down and get a lot of work done, right?
Mm-hmm.
If a junior steps into a firm environment and they recognize that actually the way that this particular firm is set up is in a way that allows them to look at it isn't that one track for the next 3 years, then not only are they motivated because now they actually have a few options to work with in terms of here's some things that we top level that we're trying to move on. Here are some of the ways that we can see that some of our juniors can contribute to that. And then presenting these to them, he will look at that and go, wow, you know, I'm allowed to, I've been given the space, I'm being allowed to expand and exponentially sort of pursue the things that would interest me or change or the new or my creativity and curiosity is now, you know, attended to essentially. Mm-hmm. And the drive that comes from someone who comes in with already with high energy, but is able to then dedicate that energy to research or, you know, exploring that new creativity and the new ideas that could come up or that they can see or that has been seen but needs work. That is a very different value proposition for a junior stepping into a firm. And they're going to recognize and feel that. And that's going to remotivate people wanting to be involved. Mm-hmm. And essentially what you've done is change the model. So it's no longer a traditional model. It's no longer a model where people, you know, have a sentiment towards it. They have they're not attracted to it anymore because they know what it is and they don't want to get involved and people are leaving. You've essentially changed the model.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously it's not as simple as that, but that's part of what it is. And I guess what we were trying to unpack.
And isn't it what leadership is about, to, you know, make changes when they are needed?
And have a vision and make that change, yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Kudus, for all of those valuable insights you've shared with us and with me about stewardship and leadership and empowerment.
Thanks for conversing with me on it. I think, you know, it's been something that's been sitting in my head for a while, but I love this platform. We can actually just have this conversation and also expand that to other people to join our conversation as well. It's really helpful. And I really thank you for being part of it with me.
Oh, you're welcome. It's such a pleasure. And we really look forward to receiving your stories. So please do not hesitate to write to us. You can send an email to thefutureoflawpodcast@gmail.com. And you can follow us on LinkedIn and Twitter and Facebook, but really do interact with us. Send us a message, drop a line, tell us what you think about the podcast, leave a review, and share it with your friends. And we look forward to featuring you on the podcast and to continuing what it means to be a lawyer and law firm of the future with you. Thanks again, Kudus.
Thank you, Tessa.
Thank you for joining us. If this episode resonates with you, we'd love for you to subscribe to this podcast and share it with your colleagues and friends. Follow and leave your feedback on Twitter and like us on Facebook.
You can connect with Tessa and myself on LinkedIn, Twitter, and you can also visit our websites, futurelab.legal and legalcreatives.com. You know, man.